John chapter number 4. And we'll go a little farther in this scripture. Don't know how far we'll get. I intended last week to go a little farther than what I got. But it didn't work that way. But maybe the Lord will let us go a little farther tonight in this. You pray for us tonight. God help us in the message tonight. I always want to be in His will. Amen. I always want to follow Him. I don't want to miss Him. I always want to be where He wants me to be. And we try to pray. I know we, on Wednesday night, we've been studying and preaching out of the book of John for quite a while. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes when we get to studying it, and when you're studying, I know preachers know what I'm talking about, but you get to kind of thinking in your mind, well, do I need to go somewhere else? And so I try every time I began to study for Wednesday night service, I try to say, Lord, if you want me to go somewhere else, you just show me. And I've tried several times, and He said, no, it's where we're going to stay. And so that's where we're going to stay for a little while and try to go a little farther in this. And we, if you remember, we've been preaching through a series of messages, I guess you'd say, out of this scripture here, and started about the revelation of Christ and how He revealed Himself to this woman there in verse number 26. We preached on that one message. And then we looked at the return of His disciples there in verse number 27, how His disciples came up, and it didn't catch Him off guard. He knew exactly what was going to happen when that's coming up, knew exactly what was going on. And even though He was witnessing to this woman and trying to reveal Himself to her, when they walked up, He didn't catch Him off guard. Amen. He knew exactly what was going on. And I want to say this one more time, and I feel like we need, as I began to study back and look back at this, I feel like we kind of need to reiterate that just a little bit, is to get in your mind when you begin to witness to somebody else, it don't matter what happens, okay? Listen, God's in control of this thing. As long as you stay where God wants you to be, you let the Holy Ghost speak through you the words that they need to hear, if you will, if you want to put it that way, then it'll be all right. Because listen, it don't catch God off guard, okay? Right. Whatever happens, it don't catch God off guard. I know I've been in situations where that I was witnessing to someone and something changed, or maybe somebody walk up and just kind of, kind of hinder, I guess you'd say, a little bit in there. I've been in those situations, and it does kind of get you down sometimes. You go thinking in your mind, well, did something happen? You know, if that hadn't happened, would they have got saved? Or if that hadn't happened, could I lead them to Christ? But I want you to understand, the Lord knows what's going on, okay? And every one of those lost people, He knows right exactly where they're at. Every one of those that are out of church, out in sin, He knows right exactly where they're at. He knows what they're doing tonight. He knows if they're sitting at the house and they're lazy boy, or if they're out somewhere where they shouldn't be. God knows, okay? So we need to remember that tonight. You need to understand that. And then in verse 28 there, last week, we began the third message preaching on the results of meeting Christ. The results of meeting Christ. And can I say it this way? Not only meeting Christ, but meeting the Christ. Because He is the only Christ. Amen. He is the only one tonight. You need to understand that. He is the only one. And when you run into Him, when you meet Him and He comes into your heart, it'll change your life. I'll promise you that. There has never been, and you listen to me closely tonight, there has never been one that has accepted Jesus Christ in their heart, but what their life was not changed. I believe that in the depths of my heart. There is not one nowhere that has ever been saved that has not changed their life. If you see someone that has accepted, they say they have accepted Christ, and they go back and begin to do the same thing that they used to, then you need to do some checking. They need to do some checking up. Amen. Because if you truly get a hold of God, He truly moves in your heart. It will change your life. The Bible says in Thessalonians over there, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now listen, I'm not saying that they'll be perfect. I'm not saying that they won't sin. I'm not saying that they won't fall. They will. Sometimes you will. But I will say this. If they do fall, there'll be conviction there. Amen. There'll be something that convicts them and shows them they're not supposed to do that because they're saved. Amen. So I do believe that. So the results of meeting Christ is it'll change your life. Now, we noticed in verse 28 last week, we gave you number one. I'll give you about seven things here. But number one, we noticed the woman then left her water pot. We'll read the scripture here in just a minute. But she left her water pot. What we said was
that she left everything that tied her down, everything that would burden her down. You know well as I do, that water pot got heavy. No matter how many times that she went back to that well to get water, it became heavy. It became just a burden for her to carry that back, if you will. But she left that on there because she didn't need that earthly water no more, because she had a well of water inside of her springing up. Amen. And I thank God for that well of water that's put inside of us tonight, that it springs up. Amen. And it gets bigger than we are. Amen. And some of that come out on Sunday night. Amen. When you blow through, when your eyes begin to swell up and begin to squirt water out. Amen. That's that water in there. It's that living water that springs up. And I sure do thank God for that. But she left everything that was burdening her there on the well. She left it with Jesus, if you will. And we took it last week over into the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 1 there, where he talks about, though with now that we've seen all these things in chapter number 11, and all the people that's had faith, he said, let us now run the race. And we give you several different things. He said, let us lay aside every weight. And then he said, let us run. And then he said, looking unto Jesus. And we use that as when we get saved and we meet Jesus and we have faith in him, that is exactly what we should do. We should lay aside all that old junk, all that old sin, and we should go on for Christ. We should run his race, what he tells us to run, where he tells us to run, and also looking to him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. I do love that statement. It took me a long time, I'm going to be honest with you, as I began to study as a young Christian years ago, and I'll never forget it, that I began to study that statement there, the author and the finisher of our faith. And it didn't really set in until a few years after I'd been saved. And it might have been more than just a few. Amen. It didn't really settle in as to what he was talking about. But he is the author of our faith because he gives us faith to accept Jesus Christ. In other words, he is the beginning. He gives us that measure of faith to believe in him. He's also the object of our faith, if you will, because he is the one that died on the cross. He's the one that rose again the third day. He's the one that sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me. So he's my object that I look to, that I have faith in. So he's the author of that faith. Boy, there's going to come a day when he's going to be the finisher of our faith. Amen. Amen. Because when we get to heaven, we ain't going to need faith no more. Amen. We ain't going to need faith no more, because we're going to see him faith to faith, face to face. And because we've had faith to faith to faith all the way through our lives, amen, I can't wait to get there. Amen. We ain't going to need faith when we get there. We're going to get to see him. Amen. So he's the author and the finisher of our faith. So we looked at that, and I want to kind of lay this out right here, and then we'll read the scripture, and I'll get into the message tonight, okay? I felt like we need to go back and reiterate some of this to really get our minds to thinking back. But I'm going to lay it out like this. If we look in this scripture, I believe we can say this. When we have had faith, which is when you got saved, okay, let us lay aside every weight. When we have had faith, which is when we get saved, let us run, okay? Let's run. And then when we have had faith after we've been saved, let us look unto Jesus, okay? I believe us Christians, if we'll take those three things and we'll apply those three things to our hearts and to our lives, I believe it'll help us, okay? Because sometimes we pick up those heavy things again and try to run. Sometimes we lay those things down, but then we fail to run because we're lazy and we won't run. Somebody say amen right there. We won't run. And then sometimes, instead, we're like Peter. Instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus, we'll take our eyes off him and we begin to sink. We begin to look around at all the things and the sin and everything going around us in the world, and we'll keep our eyes off of Jesus and put it on that. And then we cannot run that race. So if we put those three things in there, I believe it'll help us. Amen. I do believe that. So I wanted to go back and give you kind of a review there just a little bit to bring us back up to where we're at. Stay with us, if you will, tonight. We'll read the scripture for tonight and try to go a little farther in this. That didn't cost you nothing. That review didn't cost you anything. Okay, that's free. Amen. I believe it'll help us there. Now, we're preaching on the results of meeting Christ. And when you meet him, there's going to be some change in your life. There's something that's going to happen inside of you. Notice verse 28. We read that. Verse 28 says, the woman then, left her water pot, and went her way to the city, and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you again for your grace, your mercy, your long-suffering. God, I thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house tonight. Thank you, God, just for loving us, God, and just being so good to us, Father. You loved us when we were unlovable. Lord, you still love us when we're still unlovable. God, I sure do thank you. Sure do appreciate your love. Lord, even the times that we fail you, even the times that we come short, even the times that we fail, oh, God, you love us, and I sure thank you for that. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your long-suffering. Lord, we love you for that. Lord, I pray now, Lord, just for a little while. God, you come sit down amongst us tonight. Lord, just for a little while, let us just be able to bask in your mercies and your graces and get into thy word and feed from thy table, oh, God. Spread us, Lord, something that we can eat of tonight spiritually. God, I pray that it would give us strength and help us to walk a little closer, God, we ask. Lord, I pray, God, for your fresh anointing tonight. I can't do nothing. I cannot say a word. I can't utter a sound without you. And I need your help tonight. Father, I pray your power and your spirit would be upon us tonight and you'd use us for your glory and your honor. Let us, Lord, I pray, preach the way you see fit. Lord, just bind my tongue and you speak the words, oh God. Lord, anoint our voice that we might be able to raise it, Lord, to the heavens and might be able to preach thus saith the word of God. Use us for your glory and your honor. If there be one in our midst tonight lost, they don't know you in the free pardon of sin. Oh, God, would tonight be the night that you'd accept, touch them and they might be accepting you before they leave the church tonight, that they might come to this old-fashioned altar and accept you, Lord, we pray. Lord, use us for your glory and your honor, and I'll give you praise that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, tonight we want to look in that same verse, verse number 28 there. We gave you the first statement last week, and the first statement there where the woman that left her water pot on the edge of the well there, she just stopped and left everything. I was reading a little bit of commentaries this evening as I began to study a little more, and I kind of got comical a little bit and got tickled a little bit at some of them. That's talking about how excited she was and how she just basically got so excited she lost her mind, lost her train of thought, and just left her water pot. I don't know if that's the case, or she, one of them said that she left it for Jesus, that he could draw the water. I don't know if that's the case either, but either way, she left what was burdening her down, amen. And I believe tonight we ought to lay down what's a burden us, amen, and move on. But then number two, as we look in chapter number 28 there, verse number 28, the Bible says this, the woman then left her water pot and went her way. I like that. And that's what I want to kind of focus in on tonight. He says, and she went her way. And I thought about this. Whenever we meet Christ and we get saved by the grace of God, I believe that we will witness for him. We will want to witness for him. Would you agree with me? Say amen. 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 I believe tonight that we will want to witness. Now, I've heard people make this statement, and I'll be honest with you, I don't really know that I totally agree with it, but I have heard people make this statement that when God saves you, he saves you to work for him and to spread the gospel. I don't know that I really agree with that. I don't believe God saved you for that purpose. I believe God saved you to keep you out of hell, amen. I believe God saved you to redeem you back to him, amen, and to put you back in the right place with him, if you will, the right position. I believe he saved you to take you to heaven to be with him. Amen. I believe that's the reason that he saved you. But to say that he saved you to work for him, I don't know that that really is the truth. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Because I believe that that is a result of meeting him. In other words, when you meet Jesus Christ, and he saves you from hell, and he saved your dying soul, and he comes into your heart and lives inside of you, the result of that is you'll want to tell others about him. Amen. You will have a desire inside of you to tell others about him. I like to use this example so many times. We get a car, or we get a certain brand of car, and we go to, it does us good, and boy, we like it, and I'm telling you, it runs good, it lasts good and everything. You're going to brag about it. You're going to tell everybody about it. I mean, you're going to spread the word, amen. I wonder about it sometimes when God's done all that he does for us, and we don't tell others about him, amen.
I wonder tonight about us. Amen. He's been good to us, church. Amen. I believe he's been good to us. And I believe whenever we get saved by the grace of God, I believe we'll have a desire in our heart to spread the gospel. I believe that's the first thing. Amen. We want to tell others about him. Amen. Do you, I have a desire tonight to tell others about Jesus? I believe we'll stop this meeting before I even go any farther. And God's really laid this on my heart tonight and really burdened my heart tonight with this. Do you have a desire in your heart to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? I mean, we look around us all day today. We look around us all tomorrow. We can look around everywhere we go, and you'll see people after people. We'll see thousands after thousands that may be dying and going to hell. If they don't get saved, they're going to die and go to a place called hell. And if that don't break our heart, church, then there's something wrong. Amen. If that don't put a burden inside of us and that don't cause us to have a desire to reach out to them and tell them about Jesus and to keep them out of hell, there's something wrong with us. They, amen. It may be the case that we ain't met Christ. Amen. If that, listen, if we meet him and he's that good to us, I believe we want to spread the gospel. I believe we want to tell others about it. Notice what this woman did. The very first thing she did when she met the Christ and he revealed himself to her, not only did she leave her water pots, but boy, she went. That's the first thing she did, is went. I noticed that big four-letter word there. She left her water pot and went. I got to looking at that and I thought to myself, and God give me this number two there. As we look at this, you got to go. She went, amen. Oh, wouldn't God, we just go. Amen. You listen, you can't witness somebody sitting in the house. Amen. We got to go. Amen. We got to go to where they're at. Amen. I realize you'll have times that people will come to you, and I have people at work. I have people all over the place that comes to me and they'll ask me questions. And I say this so many times, people get tickled at when I say it. When you become a preacher, they think that God just takes and cuts the top of your head off and then just stuffs all the good and the knowledge in there and then sews it back up so they can come to the preacher and get the answer. Amen. That's what they think. I have people coming to me all the time. Okay. So they come to me. But that don't mean I don't need to go out there. Amen. That don't mean that I need to go to, don't need to go to them and reach out to them. Amen. Jesus said, go ye into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Amen. And to reach out to them. I believe we ought to have a look. If you notice that scripture there where he said to compel them, you can't compel them unless you love them. Amen. You can't compel them unless you care for them. You can't compel them unless you really, down deep in your heart, care for them and love them and want to see them get saved. And until you get that in your heart, you'll never go out. Until you get that compassion in your heart for them, you'll never reach out there. You'll never go out there to them. I believe one of the prayers we need to pray is, Lord, give me a compassion for the lost world. Give me a burden for the lost world. Let me have a greater burden for that one that's dying and going to hell. Let me have a greater burden for that one that's not going to make it to heaven. I believe we ought to have that down deep in our hearts. I believe this woman here, boy, she turned around and she left. She left anything that's going to stop her. She wasn't going to let anything hold her up, but she turned and she went. I would to God tonight that we'd go, amen. I would to God tonight that when we leave the doors out there, that we'd have a heart in our mind, in our minds, and we'd have in our hearts that we want to go out and we want to spread the gospel to anybody we can reach, anybody we could go to, amen, that we'd spread the gospel. Notice in this scripture, if you will, the Bible says this, and went her way. Went her way. Now, I looked at that, and God gave me this as I was beginning to look at this. Not only did she go, but she went her way. Now, you say, preacher, what do you say? She went back where she came from. Huh? The Bible didn't say she went out into Jerusalem. The Bible didn't say she went down there to Samaria. The Bible didn't say she went plumb over into another city or plumb to Egypt or wherever. But the Bible said she went her way. Where is that, preacher? That's where she usually goes. That's right back where she lives. Amen. He said, preacher, where am I supposed to spread the gospel to? Where you live. We got this mentality today, if we ain't going overseas, we ain't spreading the gospel. If we ain't taking and giving money to a missionary, we ain't spreading the gospel. I'm going to tell you now, we've got a lot of work to do right here. We got a lot of work to do right where you work, right in your home, right in your family. We've got work to do right here, amen, exactly where we live, amen. I love the scripture over there in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8 there, where he talks and tells them there, says, "Ye shall be witnesses of me unto to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the most parts of the earth." He starts there at Jerusalem first, amen, at home first, amen. I believe we ought to spread the gospel here, amen, where we live. I say this, but don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a visitation program. And I hope, pray to God, here for long, God will let us get one together. I do. And come together at a certain time, go out, knock on doors. I hope the Lord will do that. But can I say to you tonight, we don't have to have that spread the gospel. Because where you work, where you go, the people you come in contact with, that's your mission field. That's the ones that you need to go to. It's in her way. She went right back to where she came. I thought about an old wretched drunkard, an alcoholic. And boy, when they get saved, one of them I remember was Hannah's great-granddad. He's the one that led me to the Lord, Nolan Peters. And boy, he used to drink years ago. He used to drink. God saved him from that. He tossed it away. And boy, I'm telling you, he was one. He'd tell you about Jesus in a hurry. He'd drop a hat to tell you, amen. And he led me to the Lord, loved the man to death. I really did. But you know what he did? He went and he witnessed to where he lived. He went right back to where he was at. And he witnessed to those folk, amen. And I believe we ought to do the same thing. If you've got saved, you ought to go back to where you live, where you're at, and witness to those folk, amen. They ought to be number one in your heart, number one in your life. If you've got friends and family members that's lost, we need to be witnessing to them. We need to be going to them. Why would I do that, preacher? Because we've had a meeting with Christ. And because if we've had a meeting with Christ, we should have a desire in our heart to go back to them and tell them about Jesus. That's what happened to this woman here. She wanted to go back and tell them about Jesus. So the Bible says there, she went her way. So she went exactly where she was at. She went exactly and she began to tell others about Jesus. Now notice what else it says. And went her way into the city. I say one more time. That's where she lived. This woman wasn't a country girl. I don't believe this woman was a country girl. I believe she lived in the city because she went right back to where she is living there and went into the city right exactly where she lived. I believe tonight we ought to go back to where we live and we ought to spread the gospel. I'll say it one more time. Amen. So number three, we ought to spread it where we live, okay? That'll be number one. I don't know why the Lord won't let me get off of that. But I want to say this. That ought to be our number one priority is where we live. If we don't ever, listen to me tonight, if we don't ever give a dollar to missions, our mission field ought to be right where we live. Where you live in your community, where you live at your, where you go to Walmart, wherever you work, wherever you go to school, that's where you live. And that's the ones you're to reach out to. That's the ones you're to witness to. Amen. If you don't ever give anything to missions, which don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we shouldn't give to missions. But I said, number one, that ought to be our mission field. It's right exactly where we live. We ought to have a love and compassion for those folk and witness for them. Now, let me give you number four. Notice with me in that scripture there, the Bible says this. He says, "The woman then left her water pot and went into the city and saith to the men." The number four that we find the results of meeting Christ is we'll say something. Notice what the Bible says. "And saith unto the men." Now, the Bible don't say that she met Jesus, left her water pot, turned around, run, and went back into the city there and just stood and looked at them. It'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Even though she's been saved and there's probably a glow on her face and there's an excitement about her that she is just bubbling over. You ever seen anybody bubbling over and wanted to tell you something and just couldn't wait to get there? And then when they began to talk to you, it's just like I can't even hardly talk, huh? Just bubbling over. That's kind of the way I believe this woman was. I mean, she's met the Son of God. She's met Jesus face to face. She's bubbling, okay? She's got that rivers of water inside of her, that fountain of water inside of her, and it's bubbling up. So when she goes back to these men, goes back to this place where she's at, you know what she does? She opens her mouth and she saith. Do you notice that? "And saith unto them." One of the things that you hear me preach this a lot, but it's so, so true. When we go to witness, all we got to do is tell them what Jesus done for us. You don't have to have a master's in theology to go and witness. Huh? You don't have to have a doctorate in theology to go and witness, okay? You just got to tell them what Jesus done for you. That's enough, amen? That's all this woman did, amen? She just told them what Jesus did. You look at the Apostle Paul, all the way through the book of Acts, you know what he did? He just told them what Jesus done for him. He just told them about when he's going on the Damascus Road, headed down there with letters in his hand to kill some of the Christians. And boy, Jesus come by, struck him down there on the road, and he began to tell his testimony. And boy, when he did, I'm telling you, he spread the gospel. And that's where the church to the Gentile people, that's how it began to spread out to the Gentile people, just because he told what Jesus done for him. It's that simple. Amen. She went back and she saith, I believe we meet Christ, we'll have something to say. Amen. We'll have something to say. Amen. You may not have as big a mouth as I do and preach loud as I do, but you'll have something to say. Amen. I believe if you ever meet Christ and he moves in your heart and he is living inside of you, he's your personal Savior, you'll have something to say about it. It'll change your life, and you will have something to say. I love this. I do. I love what she says here. The Bible says this. The Bible says, and saith to the men. Oh, I believe she said it, and she didn't say it quiet. I believe, amen, I believe she didn't say it quiet. I believe she didn't care who heard it. I believe she screamed it maybe. Hey, come, let me tell you, let me show you. Listen, I met a man that told me all the things that I ever did. Let me tell you what I just happened to me, amen. I believe that's where we're at. I believe that's where we should be. When we meet Christ, we'll want to say about it, amen. I thought about that man over there, the maniac at Gadara over there in Mark chapter number 5, or chapter number 4. Leading into chapter number 5 there, the Bible says that Jesus went over there and Jesus cast out the demons and everything. And when he cast out the demons, that he came and sat at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. And then the Bible says on over that scripture there after this, that Jesus got back in the boat and went back to the other side over there. He came across the lake just for that one. That's pretty good, ain't it? That'll preach right there in itself. But he went back to the other side. But right before he went back to the other side, the Bible says this, I believe it's chapter 5, verse 19, somewhere in there. Don't hold that to me, or hold that against me, but about 19. But he says this, that he begged Jesus that he could go with him. He wanted to go back across the lake with him. He wanted to go wherever Jesus went. He wanted to go. And Jesus said no. He said, what I want you to do is go home and tell them what I have done for thee. Tell them how good God's been to you. Let me read that scripture. Look with me in the book of Mark. I don't want to miss that. That's too good to miss. Mark chapter number 5. Turn there with me if you will. Let's read a little bit of scripture here. Mark chapter number 5. And let's look at verse number 18. Mark chapter number 5, verse number 18. I hear you turning. I'll give you time to turn there. Find your place, say amen. Amen. All right, found a couple here. Mark chapter number 5, verse 18. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home and to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. What did you notice what happened there? Jesus said, you go back and tell them what Jesus done for you. And you go back, not only tell them what I've done for you, but he said, you tell them how he's had compassion on you. Now, listen to me. As I begin to look at this, this is the man that has been in the tombs, living in the tombs with the dead carcasses, naked, running around all over, cutting himself, tearing the chains, breaking the chains. I mean, he is a mess, okay? I've said this, and I preached this scripture down there at Gateway the other week, or the other month, I guess I should say, and I preached this, and I said this. I don't know that there's anybody in the Bible that I've seen that's any worse shape than this man. I'll just be totally honest with you. As you study in the scriptures and you study what the condition that he was in there, I don't know that I've seen anybody that's any worse. Maybe some of the kings back there that had totally turned from God, maybe, but I don't know anybody that's that bad. Nebuchadnezzar, wasn't he the one that you eat grass like an animal, if you will, for how many, 7 years, I believe it was, or something there? He's pretty bad shape. But this man was in the tombs. He was naked, running around everywhere, cutting himself, full of demons, full of legions there inside of him. He's in bad shape. And then when he goes back into the city and telling his friends what happened to him, what impact do you reckon that made? What impact do you reckon that made? I'm just deductive reasoning right here, okay? So just humor me, if you will, for just a minute. God's feeding their soul right here. Do you reckon when he began to walk up to his friends began to run back? I believe if you study the scripture out, I don't believe they could even get around him. I believe as they passed by them, the folks come by him there. I don't believe they even got close to him. They'd walk way on the other side just to get away from him because they didn't even want to be around him. And now he's coming back and he's going to tell them what Jesus has done for him and how Jesus has loved him. What kind of impact do you think that made? I mean, I'm telling you, it changed some folk. Amen. If you notice that last scripture there that I read to you, it said they did marvel. In other words, they was, wow, what's happened here? I mean, he really made an impact there when he went back. So listen, as we look at this, I believe we ought to go back and we ought to tell folks what Jesus has done for us. How good Jesus has been to us. How many of you told somebody how good God was to us Sunday night? How many went to work on Monday morning and said, man, let me tell you what God did Sunday night. I'm telling you, he blew through here. We had such a good service, the preacher didn't even get to preach. I ain't figured that out, okay? It's a good service when the preacher don't get to preach, okay? Not figured that out, okay, but it happens. Boy, let me tell you how God moved in amongst us and how he loved us. Did he not have compassion on us Sunday night? He didn't. Listen, he shouldn't have come by our way. We're just old wretched sinners is all we are. And we didn't deserve him coming by our way. We don't deserve him coming by our way tonight. Amen. We don't deserve him being here. But he showed us his compassion and his love and he's come by. Oh, he blessed us tonight. Amen. He blessed us Sunday. He blessed us every time we come together. But more than anything, he's blessed us by saving our soul. Amen. I've got a story to tell. Amen. I've got a story to tell. I've got something to tell others of what he's done for me. Amen. We ought to spread what he's done. Amen. Tell others, tell everywhere we go that he has loved us and cared for us. Amen. We ought to have a story to tell. I don't believe there should be one person. You just tell me tonight. I don't believe there's one person that's been saved by the grace of God that shouldn't have a testimony. Shouldn't have a testimony. Well, preacher, I'm shy. I can't say anything. You get something big as God in you, that shyness will go out the window. You get something as big as God in you, you'll tell. Amen. You may not scream at the top of your lungs like we do, amen, but something will happen. It'll come out of you, I promise you. Somewhere, it'll come out of you. You'll want to tell somebody, amen, about it. Boy, preacher, I'm shy. I'm scared to do it. I'm worried. Hey, listen, God will get a hold of you. If you'll just pray, God will get a hold of you, and you'll begin to spread it, amen. You'll begin to tell others about him. I promise you that. So we find in the scripture here that she went back and she told others. Now, I thought about this, and I'm going to give you these two things, and I have, we have a little bit, but I'm going to say this. I believe we need to split these things up. Because if you notice in that scripture, Jesus said, you go and tell what great things he hath done for you. In other words, he has cast the demons away. He clothed you. You're sitting in your right mind. He saved you out of a place called hell. Man, what God's done for you. But more than anything, how much he loves us. Well, you reckon God loves you tonight? I'm just glad God loves you. I love that song where he says, he loves me. He loves me. I love that song, Jesus loves me. Amen. I'm glad he loves us tonight. Amen. You reckon we're living in a world that needs to hear Jesus loves me? They're living in a world where nobody loves them. There's people out there that feel like that nobody loves them. They feel like it everybody. The world's turned against them and the world hates them. And listen, a lot of them do, okay? But listen, there's not a person on this earth, never has been or never will be, that God does not love. Amen. He said it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. He loves everyone. I don't care who they are, what their name is, how bad they are. It does not matter. He still loves them. Amen. He loved us and saved us. He can love anybody. Amen. Thank God for that. Now, if you notice this scripture, he says this, and saith to the men, verse 29, Come see a man who's told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I noticed that first statement there. That'll preach in itself right there. That's the title of a message. Come see a man. God's been feeding my soul with that when I began to study this. He's not going to let me preach all of it tonight. But come see a man. Boy, can you imagine what a man? I hope my prayer to God is that you don't go out there inviting somebody to church and say, come see our preacher. Huh? Come listen to our preacher. If you do, they're going to miss some mark. They're going to miss something. Because it ain't about the preacher. It's about him. Come see a man. Oh, listen, let me tell you about a man that saved me one day. Amen. Let me tell you about that man that come by my way when I was a 14-year-old boy headed to hell. Let me tell you about that man that come by and loved me enough to save me. Amen. Set my feet on a solid rock, established my goals. He's been good to me, man. He's been gooder, gooder, gooder to me. Amen. Oh, listen, I love him tonight. Amen. Come see a man. Notice, if you will, in the scripture, there's three things that happens when she meets Christ that happens, okay? Number one, if you notice, she went. She didn't stay there. She went, okay? We need to go. Number two, she saith. In other words, when she went there, she began to spread it. She began to tell others. She began to open her mouth and to let others know. But then number three, if you notice the scripture right here that I read to you, she invites. I believe in essence that is witnessing in itself. I believe that's the three characteristics or the three ingredients of witnessing. Is to go, to tell them, and to invite them. If you used to go and tell somebody and not invite them, I don't believe we'd be going all the way. I don't believe we'd be missing the mark. But I believe if we go and we tell them and then we invite them, I believe we're witnessing the way we should be. Amen. I notice this woman here says, come see a man. Oh, what an invitation. What an invitation. I've said this so many times when we give an invitation to end a service, but I think, and so many times, what a privilege that we have just to be able to invite somebody to come and meet the Lord. What a privilege we have to sit in His presence. And I wish folk could get that idea. I say that sometimes, and you can tell it just goes over your head or goes right by you. I can tell that, but if we could just get the understanding and get the vision in our heart that an almighty, all-righteous, all-holy God loves us enough that He has come into our presence tonight and He gives us an invitation to come. If folks could understand what a privilege it is when you go out there and you witness to those folk out there that's lost and you look at them and say, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me, and will you come and let me show Him to you? Let me show. If they could just understand what a privilege that it is and what an invitation it is, oh, how great it is. That's a greater invitation than if you got a letter in the mail asking you to come to the White House. I'll guarantee you, everybody in this place, if you got a letter in the mail, invitation in the mail tomorrow, and it was addressed and signed by Donald Trump, the President of the United States, come to Washington on this date, this time, I want to have dinner with you. I guarantee you, you know what you'd do? You'd take that thing, you'd be showing it to everybody. Huh? You'd show it to everybody. You'd say, let me show you. Look, I'm getting to go to the White House. Look, I'm getting to go here. Can I say to you tonight, you've got a greater invitation than that. That ain't even a drop in the bucket, amen? You'll be better off just come to my house. Let me feed you some food, amen? Let me grill you a steak and feed you a baked tater, amen? You'd be better off, amen? But listen, we've got a God, a holy God, that has given His Son to die for us and gives us an invitation saying, come. Come. Oh, what an invitation we have. And that invitation extends not only to us, but extends out there to the lost world, to everyone out there. Amen. What an invitation. And so what a privilege, listen to me, what a privilege that you and I have to go out there and take that invitation to them. It's kind of like, if I could put it this way, I know this sounds kind of crazy, but it's kind of like if instead of getting it in the mail, if maybe Donald had one of his people take it by the hand and take it out there and give it to somebody. Give it to you. Say, here, you need to be here at this time. Huh? They're the messengers, what they are. They're bringing that invitation there. They're bringing that to you. Oh, can I say to you tonight, what a blessing to have the Holy Ghost to come by and bring you that invitation. Amen. And you can be the messenger to reach out there and take that. take that invitation to them and say, come and see. So I believe as we look at this, the results of meeting Christ is that we will go. We will tell others, but we'll also invite them to come and meet this man. Notice, if you will, and I'll give you this and I'll close, verse 29. She said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Now, when you go to tell him, say, come see a man, what are you going to tell him? Come see a man. This woman said, this man told me everything that I'd done. You know what she did? Now, remember what I've been preaching all the way through this scripture, okay? He knew her. All through this scripture, that's what we've been focusing on, is that Jesus knew this woman. Knew where she was at, her sinful condition, knew how wretched she was, knew everything about her. And now that she has met him and he has revealed himself to her, and she goes and begins to tell, you know what she's telling? He knew me. That's what she begins to tell. She begins to tell, I met a man that knowed me. I met a man that knew everything about me. I knew a man that knew how sinful I was. I knew a man that knew I needed a Savior. I knew a man that knew I needed a water down inside of my heart. I knew a man, I found this man that knew me, knew everything about me, knew exactly what I needed. Is that not in essence exactly what we need to tell? I met a man that knowed I was headed to hell. And that man went to Calvary and died for me. That man rose again the third day. Amen. That man sitting on the right hand of Father right now making intercession for me. That man that I met, boy, he knew me. Ain't you glad the Lord knows you tonight? Amen. Ain't you glad the Lord knows you tonight? I'm glad he knows me. Amen. And when I go out there and invite them, so they come, let me show you a man that knows what you need. There's a world out there searching for all kinds of things. They're filling emptiness with all kinds of drugs and alcohol and pornography and sex and different things. I mean, they're filling that emptiness with all kind of sin and wretchedness. And I mean, it's unreal, the stuff that's going on. And they're trying to find that. And they don't even know what they need themselves. They don't even realize that's what they need. They're just trying to find something to fill that emptiness in there. And you have exactly what they need. You have a man that knows what they need. You have a man that can save their soul. I believe we ought to go out there and tell them, come see a man that knows what you need, that knows all about you, that knows every hair that's on your head, how many hairs you lost. He knows all about you, and he knows what you need. And not only does he know what you need, he loves you. Amen. What a message to take. What an invitation to give. Amen. That he knows you and he loves you and he cares for you and he wants you to accept him. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to escape that place called hell. Amen. What a blessing to be able to take that invitation out there and say, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Oh, what a blessing there. Thank God. What a blessing. Can I give you this in the last part of verse 29? He says, or she says, is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? Not only does she invite them, but she leaves them with a question. Now listen to me here very close, and I'm closing, okay? She leaves them with a question that they have to answer. Is not this the Christ? I believe I could put it this way. She is in essence saying, what do you think? What's your thoughts? Can I say this to you? You can go witness all day long. You can go. You can tell. You can invite. But you can never save. Can I say that one more time? You can go. You can say. You can invite. But you can never save. But what you can do is you can leave them with a question in their mind. Is not this the Christ? Is not this God? Is not this what I need? I believe we ought to leave them with that thought. I thought so much about Matthew chapter number 16, I believe it is, chapter 16, right around verse 17, 18, somewhere in there, where Jesus begins to ask his disciples, says, who does people say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am. He says, and the disciples said, well, some says you're Elias. Some says you're this and that. And then he asks him, he says this, whom say ye that I am?
brought it down to a personal level and saying, who do you say that I am? And that's when Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, what a statement. Amen. What a statement. But as I began to think about this, I believe we should leave them with down inside their heart that question. Because that's that hunger. And if we witness and we'll tell them like she did, the way we should, it'll leave that hunger inside of them thinking. I love to ask people this when I'm talking to someone and witness someone. I love to ask people and say, what do you think about eternity? What happens after death? You see, the fact of the matter is, if you ask somebody if they go to church, they're going to tell you, yeah. Huh? You go to church anywhere? Oh, yeah, I go up yonder to so-and-so's church. Yeah, I go up there. Who's pastor up there? Well, they don't go much, do they? If they do that, amen. But they go to church. If you ask them, say, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. I'm Christian, yeah. But you go down to the fact and say, are you ready for eternity? If you died tomorrow, where would you spend eternity? You know what that does? That brings them to that personal level. That brings them to that questioning level of, what about Jesus? What about Him? And it brings you to that personal level of thinking, what's out there? What's out there? And just like this woman brought here and said, is not this the Christ? I believe it does the same way with us. When we look at them and tell them about Jesus, but yet leave them, if you will, wanting Jesus. Wanting Him. We can't save them. But boy, we can put that desire in their heart. Amen. We can give them that invitation. I believe that. Notice with me, if you will. He says, is not this the Christ? She left them thinking, is not this the Christ? You must decide for yourself if this is the Christ or not. Notice verse 30, and I'll give you the results of her witnessing, and I'll close. Bible says, verse number 30, then they went out of the city and came unto Him. Wow. What results? What results? Boy, ain't it good when you go to witness somebody and they get saved? Ain't it good when you've been spreading the gospel and you've been telling them about Jesus for a long period of time and you see them come and get saved? I remember little Max come out of the choir back a few months ago on Wednesday night. Amen. You know what that come from? That come from mom and daddy teaching him. That come from mom and daddy watching him just a little bit of time. Holly and Matt both would talk to me about it. So I believe the Lord's dealing with him. I believe the Lord's dealing with him. I'm like, I know the Lord's dealing with him. I can see it happening. When you get up there preaching, I can see it happening. And you know, we just kept on telling him. Boy, wasn't long. Came out of the choir, come down here. I got to be honest with you, he scared me to death in a way. Shocked me, okay? Because I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, got my mind on the message, thinking about the message. And all of a sudden, he just walks up in front of me like this, looks at me and says, I want to be saved. And I'm like, glory to God. Amen. I'm jumping out of my skin. Amen. But you know what we've done? For days upon days upon days, we've given that invitation. And we've left them thinking in their mind, thinking about Jesus. What do I think about Jesus? What do I think about Him? We're letting that. But the results are so wonderful, so great, when we can be in that birthing room and we can lead Him to the Lord. Man, I'm telling you, ain't nothing like it, church. Ain't nothing like it. There's not anything in this world that'll even come close to it. Amen. Ain't nothing like it. That's a result of us going and witnessing. But listen, that's also the result of us meeting Christ. If Christ has moved into our heart, I believe we'll spread the gospel. Amen. I believe we'll reach out to them. Let's stand to your feet tonight.